forum know, I'm personally interested in that area, and I think several others would be as well.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I guess I'll cut in real fast. By the way, I did get the recording going, so that is now happening. Sorry for being a little late on that. But my name is Daniel Bloom. I work for the Sovereign Foundation. I've been on this call since it started, which wasn't that long ago, but happy to be here and looking forward to demoing some of the work we've been doing at the Sovereign Foundation on an ARES toolbox later in the call.
Excellent. We look forward to that, Daniel. Thank you. All right. Anyone else care to introduce themselves?
I can introduce myself now. I'm Sean O'Reilly. I work for a company called Legal & General in the UK. We're a financial services company, and we're about to embark on a number of betas involving verifiable credentials and digital identity, which is my interest in this call.
That's excellent. I know when I sign up for blockchain stuff here in the US, they make me scan my driver's license, take a picture of it, send it in, do all this stuff. It would be great to have a verifiable identity credential that I could use instead of passing the actual picture of my driver's license to everyone I work with.
Yeah, so we're looking at ways of maybe easing our GDPR issues.
That would be some welcome insight. I know over here in the US initially we didn't think we were too affected by GDPR, but it's come to be that that's not the case. So any insight you can lend, from my part at least, would be welcome. Glad to have you here.
Yes, I'm on the start of our journey at the moment, so I'll probably be an interested bystander for a little while. But as we get going, obviously, I hope to have a bit more input.
Yeah, no worries. We're glad to have everybody participating and get a good cross-section of the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else want to... give an introduction?
Hi there, this is Troy Ronda with SecureKey. I also work on the ARES Framework Go project. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you, thank you. All right, let's see, anyone else? Otherwise we can... we'll move on to the agenda. Okay, main identity working group. Is anyone here that attended that call this week?
This week was the off week. They met last Wednesday.
Okay.
But I wasn't on that call, so I don't know if Daniel or Kelly or anybody else was.
Yes, I was. This is Kelly. We are still kind of looking at this white paper that's been kind of sitting around and has some gaps in it, and trying to kind of get going on that, and then working on coming up with some more deliverable type approaches, whether that be use cases, etc. So kind of, I know that we've got a TSC report coming up, and so I think everybody was just regrouping and saying, where are we? But because of the various vacations and the upcoming maintainers conference or another conference, I think it was My Data or something, we didn't have a big group, so it was just more of a regroup, nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Hyperledger Indy.
Sorry, I lost the mute button, found it. This is Richard, and we had the Indy contributors meeting this week, and it was a lively conversation again. Key updates is we released Indie SDK with experimental support for fully qualified DIDs. We released Indie Node with refactorings related to the view change, but we didn't switch over to the new view change algorithm yet. And we have continued discussing what parts of the Indie SDK should move into Aries and how they should evolve to be more modular and easily accessible for people like Troy's Go framework to be able to leverage parts they want to without pulling in parts they don't want to. So we had a lot of those conversations. It did feed in quite naturally to the Aries Working Group A call, where we said, hey, we had this proposal on the Indie call and discussed it on the Aries call there. There weren't any definite conclusions, so I've kind of jumped into the Aries stuff. But we raised an issue. There's now a JIRA backlog for the Aries project for common components. Most of the Aries projects use GitHub issues, but given that a lot of older Hyperledger projects are on JIRA, and a lot of Aries-related issues are in the Indie SDK project, I've started moving issues to a common Aries project in JIRA. That doesn't replace the GitHub backlogs, the GitHub issues projects, GitHub issues backlogs. But we create an issue there for creating the new repos for common core libraries, Rust libraries that we want to create. And it sounds like people are pretty comfortable with that. I forgot the issue number. I don't know if I put it in there, but I'll put it into the agenda, the issue number. But anybody who's interested in Aries should look at that and see if they agree with the repos that need to be created in the naming. And if everybody's okay, the next week we'll go ahead and create those so we can start putting in code and iterating on what it should look like.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
One other quick plug for all the attendees. If you can go into the wiki and add yourself as attendees, it helps us measure, you know, keep track of the quality of the calls and who attends and who finds what valuable. I'll put a link into the chat.
Excellent. So let's see. So do we... Richard, do we have updates from the individual indie products or projects like Catalyst and Semantics as well? They on the agenda.
I am keen to get an update on. So Semantics, they've continued to have conversations. Most of that's getting fed into the rich schemas W3C credentials work, the Catalyst project I'd really like an update on. But they're all at the indie at the Hyperledger Maintainer Summit. So in 2 weeks, I hope we'll get an update on the Catalyst stuff.
Okay. What could you give for those who are new? Could you give just a brief overview of what Catalyst is?
Yes. So it's useful to think about the use case that British Columbia started with, which is business licenses. So they have all the businesses in British Columbia, they want to issue them a digital credential that says they're authorized to operate. But most of these businesses, when they launched, none of these businesses had ever heard of a digital identity. And they did not have digital identity wallets. They had no place to store these credentials. And so how do you catalyze, how do you kickstart this ecosystem? Well, you need an org book. You need a place where you're going to store all these organizational identities that allows the ones that are interested in being self-sovereign to claim those identities when they prepare their own wallets. So that's the idea of Indie Catalyst, is to create, it's a credential holder that allows you to operate that as a service for anybody who's interested. Excellent. That's how I summarize it. Other people can improve on that, I'm sure. Feel free.
Any follow-on comments? So for me, Catalyst is a great example. One of the things that we do at our company is we have this email or encrypted chat that we're working on. And what that does, think of it like in the payments world, it's really neat to get a new credit card type, but that's not really useful until all the merchants accept it and all the customers have it. And so trying to have these multi-sided transaction mechanisms will be really neat when everybody's up to speed. And so what Catalyst has done, what they've done up in British Columbia is an example for us on how to build something internally, create it for your particular environment. But the way they've created it is with future internal, external interoperability in mind. And so they were able to take an immediate step as opposed to trying to advertise to all the citizens and all the merchants and kind of get everybody on board before they started. They took a very interesting approach, as Richard described, to just kind of bootstrap it from their organization on down and then make that available to everybody to pick up that wallet and use that credential. Or create the wallet and pick up that credential.
Yeah, that's an excellent way to describe it. Now, the key thing, the update we're looking for, I wasn't very specific a minute ago, they're migrating this code into Hyperledger. So currently it's in BC Gov's Vaughn repo. I can put a link in. And we're looking forward to when they announce that they've migrated into Hyperledger. They've been really close. They want to do some additional documentation and testing. Was the last update I got, that was in early September.
That'd be great. We will definitely take a look at that in our at our company. All right. So we touched on Aries a bit. Any more updates for anything exciting happening in Aries this week?
Since several of the others are not currently on the call, I'll kind of do a proxy report for them. So the Cloud Agent Python, their most recent release is 0.33. Mm-hmm. I think that was primarily a bug fix. They're working on another release that will have support for a static connection that the test suite will use for automating the test protocol testing process, as well as ironing out some of the DID exchange protocol support. There are some RFC issues related to that work that need to be resolved before that release will happen. But I think we can expect that to be coming in the near future. On the static agent Python, I'm working on a release with return routing and some other just kind of nice to have improvements as well, but don't have a ton to show there yet.
Excellent. Thank you. In the notes, it talks about the static agent Python. When we say static agent, is that the same as edge agent?
So a static agent is, I honestly don't know where exactly the term came from, who coined it originally, but it has reference to kind of a light version of an agent. It's an agent that doesn't necessarily have all the capabilities that we would want in, say, an edge agent or an enterprise agent, but it has the ability to communicate at a basic level with other agents. I think probably one of the other key distinguishing characteristics is that a static agent does not have the ability to dynamically update the keys that it's using for its communication. So its keys are statically configured. And if you want to rotate the keys, you have to go and generate a new key yourself and then plug it into the configuration is kind of the idea.
Okay, great.
So it's a class of agents that is intended to help kind of end the agents all the way down paradigm, I suppose, and serve as a bridge between one system to another, or also would be useful for like a cron job, for instance, that just sends a message to an agent. I can put a link in the agenda to the repository that has a little bit more details.
Thank you. I think that would be helpful. I'd like to take a look at that. I think I've seen the term before, but this is the first time I've really paid attention and tried to differentiate it from an edge agent. All right. Any more comments on Aries? So I know they're looking at resolving for Aries They're moving away from the wallet terminology and abstracting that to little bit more of a abstract level, referring to that as agent managed storage, I believe. And there's a big discussion going on there about how that will work cross-platform, cross-API, and so forth, with a lot of pluggable things for native environments. So I don't have full details, notes taken on that, but that is one of the main discussions that's been going on recently. That did come. Hopefully that gets accepted here pretty quickly. We're looking forward to that as well. Let's see. Is anyone on that attended the IRSA call? Did they have that call this week? I don't see Mike on here.
I attended the IRSA call just as a lurking individual while I was driving over the grapevine. And they were talking about, for the most part, different ideas with regard to setting up Rust. And there was not very many people on the call.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I know they're doing a lot of good stuff I've been hearing lately. Rust is a great environment. It's new to most of the people on my project, but we're finding it's a really good way to create business logic type code in a portable environment. So I've become a real fan of Rust.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. And just really just setting it up, ideas, thinking about the way that Rust thinks, and then how to set that up long term. So it was an interesting call if anyone wants to listen to it. But for the most part, it was Rust centric.
Okay, very good. Any Sovereign updates? I know there's a Sovereign meetup tomorrow in Provo for anybody who are local in Utah. And I know they're trying to work on getting some of those calls recorded and or broadcast, but I don't have details on that. Any other updates on Sovereign?
Yeah, I also attended the Sovereign call. One would think I don't have a job, but one of the things that Drummond was talking about, and I took a look at it, and that is how much they're doing at mydata.org. And so I jumped onto their Slack, and I would say that it's really worth your time to take a look at what they're doing. And he was he was quite happy with the potential collaboration there. And then the rest of the meeting was talking about refocusing and partnering with DID and as an organization. And over the next couple of weeks, kind of re-looking at the updating the Sovereign glossary and expanding that and partnering with DID.org on that.
Excellent. Thank you for that update. I'm glad you had to commute over the grapevine. I used to live in Bakersfield, so I know exactly where that was. So thank you for that update. Anyone from the standards group? Probably most of them are meeting in Minnesota, wherever today, Michigan.
Hey, I had some to share. This is Lynn Bendixson from the Sovereign Foundation. We're having a meetup tomorrow at our offices in Provo, Utah. And anybody who would like to come by and join us is welcome to. Our focus this week is on, we've invited a guest speaker to come in from Street Cred and show us what they're doing in the identity space, and it starts at 11 a.m., goes to about 1-ish, and come meet with us in our Provo offices.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that. I think this is going to be fairly hands-on from what I've heard. At least some of their other presentations have been. Do you know if that's going to be recorded or broadcast?
I do not know yet. We have recorded the last couple and put them up on our YouTube channel. We can record that if there's a request. It's not consistent that we do record that.
Okay. I think it'd be useful. We've had others ask about that that are not in, in Utah. So if it's easy, that might be interesting. Presuming street cred is interested in a little extra exposure.
Yep, I'll check with street cred and pass on that request. Thank you.
Excellent. Perfect.
Hi, this is Ken. For the standards work at W3C, the DID working group is getting past the organizational stages. Our last meeting this week, we had numerous assignments given out to help drive forward the issues. Most of the issues have been transferred, and the working group is now in full swing. The W3C meeting for the Credentials Community Group, Helen Garneau of the Sovereign Foundation presented on how to talk to non-technical people about our technical DID-related work, identity-related work. And that was a good presentation. That call is every Tuesday at 10 Mountain.
Very cool. I know they just presented in Japan, and Drummond and Marcus's presentation is online. If you have a link to that, would you mind posting it in the meeting minutes? That is a very excellent presentation that walks through, I don't want to say it's an entry level because it goes into some pretty good detail, but it really helps when you're trying to get new people understanding what DIDs are and what DID docs are and how everything works together. I found it really useful, and I've passed that along to several people. So if anybody wants that for their own intro or for convincing people inside your company that this is how all this stuff works, I would highly recommend that. So I don't have a link right offhand.
I do. I'll put it in the chat.
Perfect. Thank you. It was just so well done. I can't recommend it enough. All right. Any updates on interop? Dimitri's not here, it looks like. All I know is that that's coming up in December and first part of December here in Provo, Utah, and that more information will be coming. And those are always really good, really useful. And I think this is going to be fairly hands-on implementing. So hopefully more details come from that. All right, let's see. We are, I don't think Daniel's here, so I know Daniel has prepared a demonstration, and so I'd like to make sure he has enough time to give that demonstration. Daniel, are you all set up?
I should be, yeah.
Okay, time's yours.
Cool. So I will go ahead and share my screen with all of you. So this is a demo that we gave at IIW last week, and it is of the Aries Toolbox. It also says Agent Toolkit here, I'm realizing. So I guess we're still kind of settling on a name. But the Aries Toolbox is a tool intended for agent developers and kind of agent sysadmin kind of roles. So the Aries Toolbox can be used to kind of inspect the messages being sent by an agent or evaluate what sort of connections or DIDs it has. And so you can debug the functionality of the agent and test out new functionality in an easy to use manner. That's probably a little bit easier than like stringing together code yourself. It does not intend to replace like actual test suites, both protocol and unit tests of an agent, but it's just intended to help a developer orient and inspect the contents of an agent. Here I have a connection to the sovereign agent. We have an agent that we are standing up. It's mostly just for testing purposes right now. We do not currently have much going on there yet, but I can connect to it and demonstrate some of the other functionality we have going on here. So I guess I'll kind of explain a little bit the context of what's going on. So the toolbox has a set of agents that it's connected to. And then when we hit connect, it kind of opens up a new context, and it presents the information as if you are the agent that you've connected to. So we are in the sovereign agent perspective at this point. So these are not the DIDs of the toolbox, but of the sovereign agent itself. So from this view, we can see all the DIDs and the associated var keys. And we can also create a new DID from a seed. And then we can also go and inspect the connections that the sovereign agent has. So here we have a couple of connections to Ken. I believe he made these connections with the Street Cred mobile app to the sovereign agent. We have one from Mike. One I was using for testing earlier, and then this is actually the current connection that we're using to inspect the sovereign agent's connections. So we have the ability to manipulate these connections. We can even delete them. I'm not using this one anymore, for instance, so I can go ahead and just hit delete, and it's gone. But we can also use this to edit certain attributes about a connection. So for instance, we can update this label to say just Mike. We can give them a new role, and we can see those changes reflected here and here. It also shows connections that are still in pending state. We're still expecting a response from this connection. That's probably a result of airing out, honestly, so I don't know if we'll ever get that response, but it shows those connections. It also shows open invitations. So this is an invite that I created earlier for Adam at the Sovereign Foundation, so he could likewise use the toolbox to inspect the connections using the administrative role on of the connection. And then it also lists the different invites. The multi-use invites are invites that are intended to be used multiple times, as the name would suggest. We currently don't have a way of viewing the invite string again, so that's some future work there. And then we can also create a new invitation. So I'll go ahead and just demonstrate what that looks like. And that appears not to be working at the moment. I guess this is a classic demo, doesn't work quite as I intended. We've been making a lot of active changes as we've been preparing for a workshop that we will be attending and presenting at. So this is a very much work in progress, actively changing things up to even just before this call. So that's probably why that's looking like that. But so using the toolbox, you can also manually construct a message and send it to the agent that you're connected to. So here we have preloaded a trust ping message, and we're requesting a response to the trust ping. So if I send that, and then we go and inspect the message history, we can see that my message was sent to the agent, and we got our response with the thread ID specifying the previous message. We can also send a basic message to the agent. So this is from the toolbox to the agent, not from the agent to another agent. Though that is something that we intend to add later as well. So we haven't gotten anything in response, but we can send a basic message. So some of these other bits are mostly stubbed out for now. We're still working on implementing the things in the background that need to happen for this to be fully functional, but we want to be able to create a schema from the toolbox and then use this request the agent essentially to anchor this schema that we've just created in this UI to a ledger. And then from that, allow us to also create a credential definition and then ultimately issue it to one of our connections. We can also specify which DIDs we want to trust as an issuer of a credential that we verify from this agent. Not sure there's much else to say there. And then we also want to be able to inspect the credentials that this agent has and be able to construct presentations and send them to another agent. So there's a lot that's kind of stubbed out right now. Not all of this is just some fake data to populate the view so we can test that out. But we obviously have a lot of ambitions for this project in supporting a lot of the things that normally you only have to do it once, and the only real tools that are available to do them right now are the CLI, and the CLI works great, and it's definitely a valid tool to use, but it kind of comes with a bit of a learning curve itself. So the toolbox, we hope, can become a simplified, streamlined mechanism of anchoring your DID to a sovereign ledger or any ledger eventually, and then anchoring your schemas and your credential definitions. So it's things that you only have to do once, and then it's set up forever, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So that is kind of, I think that's a lot of what I intended to say. There's one extra bit I'll show here, which is creating a new connection in the toolbox. So I have running here a static agent that I created for the demo. And all it does is automatically respond to basic messages and also implements the feature discovery protocol. So I can take this invite from the agent, paste it here. That didn't look like it worked correctly. So let's try that one more time. Nope, still doesn't like it. Okay. Sorry about that. Now I have to go back and make sure there are no spaces in the invite string because my copy and paste from the terminal is kind of iffy. Yep, there it is. Okay, so that should do us. Yeah, so now we have another connection to the static agent. And if we open it up, we can see that the number of tabs available is slightly different from the tabs that we had available in this agent. And that's because the static agent I'm connected to does not support the full set of features that the sovereign agent supports. There are some other ones that need to be filtered out still. But as we can see by looking at the protocol discovery tab, this agent only does connections, so it can create new connections. It only does feature discovery and basic messages. So if we go back to the basic message and retry some of the message, we get our automatic response. So yeah. I kind of sped through a lot of that, so I'm happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
Hey, Daniel, this is Shukalbo. I have one question. Sure. Does this work with a mobile edge agent, or it works with a web agent right now?
So the toolbox makes use of a return routing mechanism. So in the future, we have the possibility of being able to connect this to a mobile agent. That agent that it's connecting to, though, would have to have its routing properly set up so that the toolbox can spontaneously send messages to it. So it should work with mobile agents as long as there is a persistent endpoint available and routing set up to the mobile agent to receive messages from it.
So I have a edge agent with a cloud agent with that. So my mobile agent has a persistent IP. So can I try this tool? Is this available somewhere that I can?
This is available. So it originally started with Sam Curran. He has it in a repository under his GitHub user. I can drop a link into the agenda after in a minute. We've also we've forked it into the Sovereign Foundation repositories, and we've been working on it there in preparation for the presentation I mentioned earlier. So this code is publicly available right now. The only other caveat I should mention is that the toolbox, so it's operating essentially as another agent, which can be confusing, but it's an agent that speaks a specific set of protocols. So if I go to our Sovereign agent and inspect the protocols that it implements, we actually created this admin static connections, admin schemas, admin connections, admin DIDs. So these are the protocols that support the administrative functionality exposed by the toolbox. So in order for to get the same level of functionality from a mobile agent that we're currently getting from our fork of ACAPI, the mobile agent would also need to implement the same protocols. And since we're kind of moving a little fast and kind of just whipping things together, we have not fully solidified what exactly those protocols look like yet. However, I can share a document with you that describes how it looks right now. So as long as your agent implements these protocols, the toolbox should work with your agent.
Got it. I saw Adam posted a link, GitHub link. I'll try to see if it works with the mobile agent.
Cool. That'd be awesome to see.
One more question. I saw one of the functionalities is to add trusted issuers. So I have never seen this functionality. Maybe I've missed. Or I don't know, but does this when we send a proof request, so does this take the values from trusted issuers and put it in the restrictions, or how does it work?
Adam, are you available to answer that question?
Yes, of course. If you click on, let's go with presentations. This has changed a bit. Go to the presentations tab, click on registration. Scroll down. There used to be a button. Yes. Keep going. Issue a credential presentation request. If you click on that, there's select a connection. So you'd select who you want to request a credential presentation from. And then, oh, wait, no, we need to go back. This is the, nope, go down.
Go down.
Hold on. Go down.
Going down.
Add a right there and create presentation definition.
Yeah.
Just add something like age or I don't know, ADFS, right? Just right there. Add. And then right there, I have a restrictions where you can select from a dropdown of DIDs from your trusted
issuers.
Yes, is the word it has. Issuers. This is following a deprecated data model in the ACAPI, Aries Cloud Agent Python. It's going to be updated to reflect the RFC in Aries, where there's, I think, four or so different restrictions you can impose, which are credential definition, ID, issuer, and I forget the others. But yes, the idea is you have some sort of governance framework you manually put in. In this example, it's a trusted issuer. And then when you're creating your presentation definitions, you provide the restrictions on each attribute you're requesting to be fulfilled. And then once you have a presentation definition, so if you go back to presentations, Daniel,
mm-hmm.
Once you have them and you can list them, you can then go and actually send the request to the individual on the connection. Now this is this is a bleeding edge. I'm learning as I'm doing this. This tab is going to change probably today or tomorrow. So it's fun and games. Any questions? Did that answer your question, Sukalpo?
Yeah, I got it. So that's what I was asking. Like, are we taking these values and putting in the restrictions? So yeah, that answered. Thanks, Daniel and Adam.
Yeah, no problem. So I'll state it just a little bit more explicitly than Adam did, just for clarity for others that aren't as familiar with the restrictions. So this is basically saying that we only want to accept attestations of an age from a certain set of issuers. So for instance, we don't want to just trust Target to have verified your age. We would rather trust like a government entity or the DMV or something to get a more accurate representation of your age. In other cases, it may be appropriate to just have whoever, like it can be self-attested even maybe. But the restriction on the trusted issuers gives us the ability to specify who exactly we want to trust given these attributes.
So this is an area where there's some collaboration going on with DIF to look at what they're looking at for proposed methods for specifying how to do restrictions and presentation definitions so that you can basically establish your trust framework for who you trust and what you trust from them so that you can describe that in a way that gives you the level of surety you need to make business decisions or to make your decisions after you verify the data, then you can say that you can trust it to a certain degree and it allows for that trust framework to be established.
Thank you, Ken. So are there any other questions I can answer for you? Okay, if not, I'll go ahead and quit sharing.
Thank you, Daniel and Adam for presenting that. That's really exciting. I see that we posted the GitHub links in the chat. So you mentioned that Sam Curran wrote the initial version. The version that's getting updated with all the new additions you mentioned, is that Sam's version or the Sovereign Foundation version?
So we forked out from Sam's initial release or version. I don't know if I can call it a release. So it's this current work is in Sovereign Foundation repositories. It is public though, so anybody should be able to pull it down and play with it if they'd like. The branch of the Ares Cloud Agent that also has support for the administrative protocols that we outlined, that is also in our fork of the Sovereign Foundation repositories of the Ares Cloud Agent. So if you want to essentially have the same functionality that I demoed here today, you'd have to check out the Ares Cloud Agent code from Sovereign Foundation and the toolbox from Sovereign Foundation.
Now, is the clients that you were showing there, are they running, would they run local or are those cloud agents?
Let's see. So the static agent that I ran was local. The Sovereign agent is running in the cloud, I guess you can call it that. It has restricted access right now, so not anybody could connect to that one in particular. And I guess a bit that I forgot to mention earlier was that the Ares Toolbox is an Electron app, meaning that it should be pretty straightforward to package it for many operating systems. You can also check out the code yourself and just do a simple npm install and npm run dev and run it that way if you'd like. But we hope to in the future just provide packages that can be downloaded and installed for each operating system as well.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you very much for taking the time to meet with us today and present that. I think that that's really useful for everyone to see. I think we've come to the end of our agenda. So one of the things that we'd like to do for this call, as I mentioned at the outset, is make it kind of a cross-section of what's going on in the larger Hyperledger Sovereign Evernym kind of community, and make sure that we're all aware of what's going on in the different corners, because there's a lot of calls and working groups, and it's hard to attend them all. And so this group will be to solicit reports from people that have attended those groups so we can get that overview. The other thing that I think would be very useful is, like today, for Daniel and Adam presenting the Aries Toolbox, is for any of us that are building these types of components that would be of general interest to the community, I'd like to invite you to contact me or Richard or anyone on this group so that we can get you set up to present at a future meeting. For me personally, it really helps to see who's working on what and how we can all be interoperable as we build out this area. And so I know I get a lot of ideas for my own efforts when I see what others are doing. And if we could, if you'd like to present in a future meeting, I'd like to invite you to do that. We're going to meet again in 2 weeks' time. And it looks like Evernym will present the Connect.me app and some of their other demonstrations. And now, Richard, do we also have Kiva on tap for a demo on that day?
So Evernym's demo is really brief. It shows Evernym Connect.me logging in through OpenID Connect. And I know that it's the demo we gave at IIW. I know there are a few different approaches to that, so we're excited to show ours. Last 2 weeks ago, Cam said he had a demo he wanted to present, but it was probably worth reaching out. I would really like to get a review of IIW and a review of the maintainers, the Hyperledger Maintainer Summit, because I'd love to know what the top topics of conversation were at both of those events.
Okay, we'll make that a featured theme of our next call. The Maintainer Summit, that's the one that's going on right now today, right?
Correct. So in 2 weeks from today, it would be great to hear about both. It's worth asking Cam if he really wants to demo or if he wants to wait 2 weeks. But if he doesn't demo, I would love to spend the whole time hearing what people thought of IIW and the Maintainer Summit.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. We didn't get that today, but I attended IIW and it was amazing as always. I think we're starting to get a bigger cross section of the overall larger community attending IIW. And so the emphasis feels to me like let's enhance the space and increase the interoperability. And so I thought it was really good. But we'll go into that in more detail next time. I would like to thank all of you for joining and for participating in the call, and I look forward to meeting with you all next time. That'll be in 2 weeks.
Thanks for leading, Steve. And that demo was really useful, Daniel. I slacked one of my engineers and said, you got to join and watch this, because we were playing with the Agent Toolbox. So it helped us figure it out.
No problem.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.